Well, you might not remember, but tomorrow will be exactly a year to the day that I was inducted as the minister here. And I had a very unusual experience of actually having got to know the previous four ministers before coming here. It's probably not ministers who can say that, but it's been a blessed year to be with you. And we look forward to moving forward together in God's will. Shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks for this day, and we thank you for fellowship. And especially we thank you for your word, and we thank you that this church has been built on that foundation, that rock of your word. And we pray that that will continue, and we pray this evening you will bless each one of us in the powerful way that only your word can. Amen. Some of you may remember the name Ayrton Senna. Quite a legendary motor racing driver, won three world championships, and died in a very tragic accident in the mid-90s. But you know, in the early 90s, there's a story, I don't know how true this is, but there's a story that's been circulated that he was in the UK, and he'd been doing a bit of testing or something, and he was caught speeding on the motorway. And he was well over the speed limit. He was in a sports car, he was a long way over the speed limit, and he was pulled over by the police. And this policeman apparently had no idea who he was whatsoever. But obviously he'd seen that he was well over the speed limit. I'm absolutely appalled to see this. And when he pulled him aside, he got him out of the car and said, "Who do you think you are, Nigel Mansell?" And he replied, "No, I'm Ayrton Senna." Ephesians has a number of themes, including that of identity. Our identity in Christ. Knowing who we are in Christ. You know, this morning for our church anniversary, we looked at God building his church and his kingdom coming. And tonight, we remember that we are a chosen people for him. He chooses us to make use of us for the building of his kingdom. You know, it's believed that Paul may have wrote the book of Ephesians when he was a prisoner in Rome. And despite all the problems he was going through, we can see from this letter the consolation, his experiences that he was going through. But despite all of this, we see the relish with which he writes those in Ephesians. In the past, they've lived lives as idolaters, but now they're converted to Christianity, received into covenant with God. Paul often reminds them of the state they were in before their conversion. But now also reminds them of where they need to go in the future. What they're called to do in the future, to keep walking with Christ. Being faithful in their walk. Isn't it good to be reminded of that, to be faithful in our walk? Very applicable to Christian life and the Christian journey, the book of Ephesians. You know, apparently in the original Greek, verses 3 to 14 was one sentence. This must have been a translator's nightmare. But you know, many Christians can see themselves as being sort of on the edge of what God's doing. You know, we hear that God is great, we believe it, we believe in the great promises of the Bible. We know that God loves us, we want to serve him. But sometimes we can think, is he always at a bit of a distance? We know he's going to do great things, but is he going to do great things with us? Or is that for another time, from another time, for another group of people? Perhaps this can be down to humility. We don't want to think of ourselves too highly. And yet, as Paul writes to the Ephesians here, they are reminded they are chosen to be used for God's great purposes. Do we believe that message for ourselves today? We are chosen for his great purposes. All of us to be used in varied ways. Maybe we feel a bit uncomfortable with God doing anything too big with us. Happy to be on our own small place to do things for God. Do you ever have feelings like that? And yet God wants to use us for great things. Things that may seem small, but can go on to do great things for God. Paul's writing to new Gentile Christians. They didn't have this good Jewish upbringing that most of the first Christians did. Maybe you're one of those who wasn't brought up in a Christian home, with a Christian background. Maybe you feel like you have a little bit less because of that. God uses us wherever we are, whatever we've been through, God uses us. After his initial greeting, Paul gives thanks for their welfare. In verse 4, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." The purposes and the greatness of God can be shown by the fact that he existed before the foundation of the earth. Paul is again referring to what God wants the people to be able to reach, the goal for the Christian life, to reach that holiness. Those in Ephesus are being left in no doubt as to what their calling is and what they should be doing. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. There's no doubt there are blessed people, and God wants to use them for the highest of callings possible. God's plan is to use us for eternity, not just this world. We were created for life in fellowship with God and adopted as his children. This is no minor calling. This is something great. The greatest calling possible. And it's all because of God's grace that this happens. Because of his grace for us. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. These were people who might have been seen in the world as being unimportant. And here they're being told they're precious to God and that he's going to use them. Chosen people for his glory. A reminder of where they have come from, but also what God has for them. What God has for us. They're in that place that we all are, needing redemption, but also knowing the promises of God's grace and the riches that await. As we read on, "With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." Christ brings about the greatest fulfillment of God's plans and purposes. God reveals himself in Christ. And we read here what Paul is calling the Ephesians to do. To be put into effect for God. For him to make use of them. Not only this, but Paul also goes on to say that as Gentiles, they're part of God's plan. They should all be working together. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. The importance of being part of the same plan. This must have been something so radical. Praising the glory of Christ is what is highlighted here. The most important thing. Sadly, it's something that can be missed or forgotten today. When we develop our own agendas or we want things done a particular way, we can get caught up in arguments when we're actually all part of the same plan and the same purpose. That great purpose that God has for us. To be the praise of his glory. The goal for all Jews and Gentiles. It is very clear that the hope is in Christ. And it's through him all this is achieved. Paul goes on to write about the importance of hearing the word. This is how salvation comes, through hearing the word. The truth of hearing the gospel is what counts above everything else. Truth of hearing the gospel and living it out in our lives. There's a very clear statement at the end of this passage. But believing in Christ gives us a guarantee, a deposit, a guarantee of salvation, being in God's possession. Do we remind ourselves of that often enough, that we are his? The victory won through Christ. It means we are all chosen to be used for his purposes and for his glory. Have you ever been told that you're not important, that you're no good? Have you ever thought that yourself? And yet, God tells us we are important. We are all to be used by Him for His purposes. Even when we try and avoid them, He still has a way of using us. You know, this can seem a bit daunting. Perhaps is this unrealistic expectations? We think, well, I can't do very much. And yet sometimes something which may seem very small, God uses for something very great. I quoted from Zechariah 4 this morning, and I'm going to do so again. In Zechariah 4:10, who despises the day of small things? Do we see Lisbury Baptist Church as this church down little cul-de-sac which no one knows about? But is it something that God's actually chosen to make a difference for the community? When you think about all the things that are happening here during the week, all the people that come through the door, and yes, all the places this church goes out to, going into the schools every week, going into different care homes, all the places that the choir goes to, making a difference for God, being a witness. And those conversations that we might have, those conversations that might happen in groups like toddlers or at messy church this week, and we might think, oh, it's not much, but it can have a big impact. That conversation we have with a neighbour this week, that conversation with someone in our family, can go a long way and be a witness. We thought this morning about God's Spirit being at work in us. He can be at work in all of us. We are all chosen to be used by Him. God wants to use us all for His glory and His purposes. It's clear God will use us in different ways for this, being part of the same plan and the same purpose. I know of two churches somewhere that took years to grasp the fact that they were working together. For years they'd organised events to compete with each other. And when they worked out, they were working together for the same purpose. The difference it made for that community. We're working together for God's purposes and God's plans. Churches are placed in different locations, different groups of people in different areas. People in churches have different gifts. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. God working out His plans and purposes through each one of us, using all of us in different ways. The same God is at work using everyone in different places. Those things which may seem small, but God can make them into great things for Him. Maybe today you're struggling to think, where do I fit into all of this? Where do I fit into God's plans and purposes? Well, sometimes it's just being the person God calls us to be. In the places that we are and those people that we meet, we can make a difference for God, allowing His Spirit to work through us. We are chosen to be used by Him. Nothing that we ever do is minor or insignificant. There may be a conversation that God has prepared for you to have this week. Pray into these things. Pray about how is God going to use me this week. There are all things taking place in the church this week. Pray for them. Pray for the opportunities that we have. We are all at work together in Christ. We are all on a journey. None of us have completely made it. We're promised the rewards that He has waiting for us. That redemption that we can receive. And as Paul writes to those in Ephesians, he's reminding them they are chosen. Sealed by the blood of Christ, they are chosen for His purposes, and He wants to use all of them. And it's those very same words for us. He wants to use us. He chooses us. But we also have to choose Him. Make that choice to follow Him. to know that we want to follow him every day. The choice is to follow him, to follow his plans and purposes, and allowing him to be at work in us. We read from Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me. The good news is, God has chosen us. Are we going to choose him this week? Shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks for your church here. And it's your church, it's not ours. And I thank you for all those that have gone before. This church is made of a people. And we pray for the opportunities to be a witness. And we give you thanks that you choose us. You put us all in different places. Surround us with different people. But you are at work in each one of us. And Father, I just pray that we can all commit this week to you. Commit the places to where we're going. To know that we can all serve you. The importance of prayer, and how that can serve you. And I pray you would guide us. And I pray that as we as a fellowship look to go forward, you will guide us. It'll be your ideas and your purposes that we follow. Amen. Going to invite the musicians.